Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. This week we're studying the story of Joseph from the Old Testament. So far in the story, what we've heard about is how Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, also known as Israel, and that Joseph had been the favorite, got this special coat from his father to represent that special place in the family. His brothers resented it, got rid of him by selling him to slave traders, where he got thrown into jail, framed, and eventually got let out because he helped Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, with his dreams, helped him interpret his dreams as predicting a famine. And then Joseph was put in charge of pretty much everything in Egypt during that time to prepare Egypt for the famine. Egypt was so well prepared for the famine that other nations showed up looking for help from Egypt, including Jacob's sons, Joseph's brothers. They showed up asking the prime minister of Egypt for help, not recognizing he was their long-lost brother who they thought they'd either killed or sold into slavery. Joseph knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. And I asked you yesterday to just kind of think a little bit about what might have happened next. What would Joseph do? What would you do? What would other people that you know or might owe something to, what would they do? Well, today we'll explore what Joseph actually did. Well, what he did first is he tested his brothers out a little bit just to see if they were honest men now. And so it's a long story. We don't have time to explain it all. But basically, he made it look like one of the brothers might have stolen something and tested to see what their brothers would do, if they would throw him under the bus or whether they would try to protect him and take care of him. And they essentially passed this test. It looked to him like they had matured since their last experience, that they were changed men. And so here's what he did. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob, and they told him, "Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt." And his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." Well, there's meaning in this story, both looking back and interpreting it in light of past events and looking forward and seeing how it's predicting future events. First of all, let's look back. Joseph's father, Jacob, was known as a scoundrel. He stole from his brother. He impersonated his brother. He was always trying to get ahead at the expense of others. Didn't have a great reputation. He had a change of heart after his encounter wrestling with God and then his reconciliation with his brother, Esau. Explored those stories already, but there was a pattern set there, and we kind of see it repeating again in most of his sons as they get rid of Joseph out of jealousy. They don't want him to be the most loved and first son. They try to get rid of him. So clearly, some of Jacob's past has rubbed off on his sons, but not all. There's that one son, Joseph, in whom there doesn't seem to be any guile. He's obviously different. There's one that's different, and God can work through just one. God can change the whole world through one, and he does. Now looking forward, on the other hand, here's what happened next. When Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So that happened after Joseph and his brothers had that encounter. He gave them the food they needed. He got to see his father again. It looked like everything was working properly again in that family, but the brothers were still nervous, thinking that maybe Joseph was just being kind to them because their father was alive and that he would let loose with fury once the father died. It's not the case, however. He makes it clear that he will protect, care for his brothers and their families, regardless of what they've done in the past. He forgives them. Same kind of forgiveness we saw between Esau and Jacob last week, we now see between Joseph and his brothers. It's also pointing us forward to a theme of forgiveness that runs through this story, but more importantly, through the most important story in the Bible, the story of Jesus, forgiving all of us, forgiving the entire world for our sins, for having hurt him. Now, there's that beautiful line there about God having meant this for good, that even though you meant it for harm, God meant it for good. It's a beautiful line, and it's the kind of thing you can say in retrospect. Joseph says it here, and lots of times people will try to take that line and apply it to somebody else's life who they know is going through troubles right now, and it's usually not much comfort. When somebody's going through something right now, the possibility that some good might come from this later usually doesn't mean it hurts any less. And I think that's okay. This is something that we can see in retrospect. I don't know if Joseph would have said at the time when he was sitting rotting in jail or a slave that God was using this for good so it would be okay and was real optimistic about it. We don't really know for sure, but it's something you see in retrospect. So this doesn't mean that everything bad that happens to us is planned and promoted and encouraged and loved by God because it's going to help something else somewhere else. This is actually a statement about God's ability to redeem bad situations. It doesn't make situations any less bad. They can still be horrible to go through. They can still hurt. They can still be discouraging and frustrating. That's all okay. This is a statement about God's ability to redeem those situations, bad as they are. God redeems this situation a number of ways. First of all, relationally, Jacob gets to see his son again, who he thought was dead. The brothers and all their guilt, they're absolved of that guilt. They know he's still alive. They get to see him again. So there's some relationships being restored here. Joseph knows he's not alone anymore in the world. He sees his brothers once again. In a little bit bigger picture, the legacy of Israel, his nation of descendants, is still intact. They're going to survive this famine thanks to the actions of one of their own, Joseph. So there's good news there for the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, Israel himself and his descendants. In fact, Joseph even establishes his family in Egypt to go and work that land. Unfortunately, although it started out peacefully and went really well, it didn't last forever. And things eventually fell apart with a new pharaoh. Joseph and his legacy were forgotten, and the Israelites were made slaves in Egypt. As horrible as that was, God still had a plan to redeem it. It was pointing us forward to the Exodus, when God was going to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. A story so important, we're going to devote several weeks to it in the upcoming weeks of our daily challenges. But in the meantime, I've got a question for you to think about and discuss with some friends. How does this set the stage for Jesus? What do you think the parallels are between this story and Jesus? Well, have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.